We're backstage with the maestro, Christoph Eschenbach. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
I'm very happy to be back, very happy.
Well, this program of 19th century German composers is so rich and beautiful. How does it all fit together?
Well, strangely, it fits very well together. The Weber, as you heard, is a very dramatic, really opera piece. And in the overture, there's already the whole opera happening. The Schumann is a very chamber concerto-like piece. And Alisa plays it wonderfully, wonderfully.
So we're about to hear Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which is so powerful and so famous. If you call any symphony iconic, this would be the one. Why do you think it's so acclaimed and so great?
For reasons, I think, which people don't really understand. No, it's phenomenal and it in itself. It has no predecessor. There's no successor in composition. The first movement is one of the most modern ideas to have a motto like da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. I mean, it's and to build out of this little piece a whole movement is phenomenal. And it goes actually through the whole symphony. Also, it's in ba-ba-ba-bam, da-da-da-dam, da-da-da-dam. It comes again and again and again, this motif, and the whole symphony is built with that. And the other thing which is very, very amazing, it was never written before, the transition from the third movement into the last movement, this misterioso with the timpani, almost, I told her, as the young lady who plays, I told her, softer, 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 forced all the strings to play as soft as possible. And then it happens a mystery about it. It's a mystery. And then it breaks off in the C major last movement. It's quite a monster of a piece. In short time, doesn't last longer than half an hour. It's all the repeats.
So you've performed this piece, I'm sure, many, many times. We've talked before about how when you prepare a piece, it's not just learning the notes, looking at the score, it's finding the expression behind the notes.
Exactly. And anyway, I haven't done it so many times because people think, oh, that's the Fifth Symphony, we can't hear it anymore, you know, and they don't schedule it. But whenever I did it, I thought about it more than of any other piece I did again. And it changed, of course. It changed. I mean, I did maybe the first time when I was 24 in conservatory, and then I did it for the first time when I was really conducting in my 30s. And it changed a lot. It had, of course, the burden of Furtwängler in my youth. And that was to the da-ba-ba-ba, da-da-da-da, as a motto of the whole piece, and then let the piece be. And I don't think at all like this anymore. It's from the first note, it's connected to the other measures in the movement. Anyway, all the Beethoven symphonies, my readings of all the Beethoven symphonies, have changed more than any other symphonies, more than Brahms, more than even Schumann. They have changed in tempo, they have changed in attitude, they have changed in phrasing. I'm very adamant about phrasing in the orchestra so that things have a diction, things live, things tell a story.
So at this point in your career, do you have certain music that you go back to that comforts you or soothes you, or is it your go-to music, or are you just constantly looking for new things to do?
Of course I go back to symphonies, but also I'm discovering new pieces for me. For example, Shostakovich. I have done rather not many Shostakovich symphonies, maybe 5, but I want to do at least 10. And I had not so much an open door to Sibelius, but now it begins actually in my high age. But it's phenomenal music.
Well, your enthusiasm for music and for conducting just seems to grow and grow. Are you still playing piano as well?
Unfortunately, I stopped this summer because I had something with the little finger here, with the left little finger, because it was broken once and didn't heal so well together. And and therefore I didn't play it since summer. And I regret it in one way, that I can play with others, you know. Alone I didn't play anyway. But on the other hand, I have more time to read. You know, that was always a bit short, although I was so much interested in literature and in psychology and whatever.
What are you reading?
Some works of C.G. Jung, the great psychiatrist and psychologist. And I just read again, read it when I was a youngster, Murphy by Beckett. And, I read recently also the biography of Stalin, which brought me to Shostakovich and the difficult relationship between an artist and a monster of terror, Stalin. And therefore the symphonies seem to me are apparent in another light. And in the really right light, they were composed under the whip of terror.
So literature and history then, your understanding of that informs your approach to the music.
Also Jung's psychology.
Well, so when you think back as to why you got into conducting, do you recall why you wanted to be a conductor when you had this a career as pianist?
Well, from beginning on, I wanted to make music with others. So the chamber music gave me that. Then in my second parents' house, my mother was a pianist and a singer, so I learned with her accompanying songs. I learned with her actually all the song literature from Schubert, Schumann, Wolf, you know, the great songwriters, and then chamber music, and from that the conducting emerged, like make many people play wonderfully and give them initiatives, and that was the way. That was my way. My way.
And has it evolved to be everything you expected and more?
Yes, it has. It has. I'm a very happy man, you know. I'm really. And I'm now especially happy to come back to Philadelphia because it seems to be like yesterday when I left.
Well, we're happy to have you back. Thank you so much, Christoph Eschenbach.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.